jazz stash. You got a stash of jazz in your pants. That's offensive and gross. How's it going, everybody? Welcome to Lauren's Podcast. It's been a minute. I mean, it's been a lot of minutes. I mean, if you did the math, I bet it's been thousands of minutes. How many? Don't do the math. That's a waste of your time. No one wants to do the math on that. Oh, why am I still doing this podcast? I have three other podcasts or two other. I don't know. Podcasts are like kittens. I just lose count after a couple. My voice sounds like shit. I've been awake all night for like a week. Well, Lauren, why didn't you get yourself a glass of water before you decided to record audio of your voice? Well, that's an easy question to answer. So, how have y'all been? Oh, man, I've gotten so used to doing this with Luke and Tremarco that I don't even know how to, like, just talk by myself for a while anymore. But, I mean, I have things I want to say. What do other people do on their dumb podcast? They talk about the shows they have. Well, I don't normally have shows, so I've never done that. But I've had some shows. If you're listening to this, you probably were there. Or maybe you weren't. I don't know. But... yeah, I had a show where it was outside of a used comic book store, but not a GameStop. Like the kind of places that sell Super Nintendo games and VHS tapes, and you can also find a mint copy of the Spice World CD. You know, one of those stores. And it's a nice place. I don't know why anyone would open up that style of business in this day and age right now. Everything is going, I don't know. Nostalgia has a strong pull, I guess. But I was really excited to see this, like, you know, fresh new business that seemed to have survived the pandemic, you know. And then I asked the guy how long he's been open, and I had a bunch of other questions, like, what did you do during... you know, the lockdown, how did you manage that? What were your business flexes? How did you pivot to stay profitable? And he was like, we opened a month ago. And I'm like, no more questions. What is there to say? Have you made a sale yet? Yep. Cool. Tight. Awesome. That's no more questions. Thanks for having us. It was a fun show. Ron put it together. Ron Irvin. You can hear him on How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Bomb. He's a fun dude. Ron's a psychopath, though. The type of people that gravitate toward me are always the people that are just, like, either very, very backward and they want to follow every single rule to a T because they're anxious about getting in trouble. Or the people that are like, I'm just smart enough to not give a shit about any of your rules. Why don't I ever just hang out with normal folks, you know, that just want to punch in, punch out, and then go on the ground one day? Anywho, the show was fun. Leah came to the show. She hasn't been to a show in like 2 or 3 years. Part of that is because the pandemic. Part of that is I don't write enough jokes to keep her entertained. It's just the facts and reality of it. I don't write jokes very fast, and she's heard all of them a lot. But then she was like, yeah, let's go to a show. We made some friends over the pandemic, Deacon Gabby. Very wonderful people. Very nice. We went on vacation with them. It totally wasn't a weird, awkward bummer or anything. Just kidding. Love y'all. But they came to the show, too, and that was fun. The first comic performed... and then it started to rain, and so we moved the show inside, and then Leah did not move inside. I went up second. I got off after I did my time, and I go outside to, like, you know, decompress and whatever, and there's Leah looking like a drowned rat just standing in just a good steady downpour. No idea why she's out there, and I'm like, what are you doing? Why are you? You're gonna die. You know, because rain's deadly. I had no idea why she would stand. And there's Dika right next to her, just in the rain. Our other friend, Gabby, inside totally fine. So I'm confused. I don't know what has happened. I don't know if Gabby has pissed them off or if something else has went down that didn't bother Gabby, but it bothered Deka and Leah. So I asked. And very, very plainly, Leah said, someone in there smells like a dog that's been left out in the rain after it died last week. And I went, holy shit. That's real specific, honey. And so we left. We just, like, you know, got Gabby out of there. And I was like, well, I mean, you guys are soaking wet. Obviously, you're not going to go back into the room with the smelly. But I guess we're going to go home so that no one gets pneumonia. Totally not bummed about it. The show was super weird. Like I said, it rained. Didn't go great. Should you stay and support the rest of the show as a performer on that show? Absolutely. You should. Is that something that I do all the time? Hard nope. Hard nope. Oh, man. Look, if my girlfriend is literally soaking wet and can't go into a place to get dry because of how that place smells, I'm going to take her home where she's comfortable and can shower and, like, all that. Every time, 100%. I don't care how funny you are, Blake Hammond. I'm not hanging around to see your set if my girlfriend is soaking wet. Stop messaging me about it. I'm kidding. I'm just playing. Love you, Blake. Yeah. In other news, I think I started and stopped an open mic in the time since I last did an episode on this show. Why did I want to start an open mic? Some folks may be thinking, Lauren, you're above that. You should branch out beyond open mic comedian. And to that I say, eat shit. That's not a decision that I really get to make. I mean, I kind of have control over that, but I also, like, don't get to make the decision, you know? I also am super lazy, and I'm very aware of that, and I'm fine with the lot that I've made in this life. I do jokes to strangers sometimes for $25, and that's probably as far as my comedy career is ever going to go. That's what the pandemic taught me, is to be okay with whatever level of success you dictate as achievable. And for me, what I already have is what's achievable because I can see it. It's directly in front of me. I can't put a finger on an untangible idea of, like, well, maybe one day I'll get a manager and I'll work the entire... No. I mean, if that happens, great. I'm going to pursue that, even though I don't know what it looks like or how to find it. But I'm also totally fine if I just end up like Rob Wilfong or Stuart Huff. You know what I mean? Like, that's fine. I'm also totally fine if I don't end up like either of them. And I don't ever take a step past where I'm at right now because what I have gives me fulfillment and happiness. That's what the pandemic taught me. I have an amazing woman in my life that supports me even when she can't stand in the room. I have jokes that I tell that make people laugh that I enjoy. I wrote those jokes. It took a long-ass time, but I wrote those motherfucking jokes. And on top of that, there are places that I have access to that allow me to tell those jokes to strangers to give me the idiotic narcissistic validation that I need from a stranger. I am a raging success. Eat dicks. I'm done. Like, I'm fine, man. Comfortableness is like the dream killer. You know, I wanted to be Mr. Name Up in Lights. That was what I wanted. And then I turned 30 and I started making, like, okay money at a job that I don't absolutely despise. And I really enjoy making these podcasts for y'all. I don't know why I'm turning into, like, slight Southern drawl me. Normally that only happens whenever I talk to, like, my grandfather or my dad. And grandpa's dead and daddy don't talk to me. So that's not fair to him. I don't talk to him. But Stuart Huff, interviewed him recently, definitely reminds me of my father. Like, my biological father. So much so that I started seeing my dad at shows, not because he was there, just because Stuart Huff put that little nugget in my brain of, like, you know, you remember the guy whose sperm you came from. Remember, you lived with him for a short time, it got weird, and then you left. You remember? So then I went to another show with Rob Wilfong at fuck all somewhere Batavia. I think it's called the Eastern Center or something. It's an AA lodge. That's right. I was performing in front of a 6.5 foot tall poster of the 12 steps, and I had already violated most of them that day. Oh, well, you know, I wasn't there to talk about sobriety or, you know, how the 12 steps fixed my life. No, I was there to be funny. And I think I was. Other people told me that I was. Was I super funny? Nah, I could have been better. But I'm also lazy and I don't practice. And I just, you know, I have jokes that I like that work. I go up there. I try them. They happen. Sometimes they happen in a really cool, smooth way that makes me seem like a really polished and professional comedian. And that's a fluke because I don't put in enough effort to be good. I put in just enough effort to be like, oh, yeah, he's okay. He's good. But I don't put in enough effort to be like, oh, damn, he's good. You know what I mean? There's a difference. There's a clear difference between, oh, yeah, you were good, and good God, it's so good. I can't even, oh, it's the goodest. You know what I mean? Like, there's a difference. And I've never once put in enough effort to make somebody just go like, in anything. You do the math on that. Or don't. I don't know. Math's hard. It's, what, Tuesday? Tuesday. God, I have to fix the way that I speak. I don't know who I am, so I don't know how I'm supposed to talk. Do you have any idea how frustrating that is? Like, sometimes I'm like, oh, well, maybe I'll be this person. And then I get annoyed. And then I'm like, okay, well, I should just be me. And then I'm like, anybody got that written down anywhere? Who the fuck is that? Like, I know what I'm like. I know what I like and what I am like. But I don't know who I is. You know what I mean? Or maybe I do. And I'm just denying it. You know? Just shoving who I really am down my own esophagus. And one day I'll shit him out and be like, well, look at that turd. And then I'll move on. Is that how that works? I don't know. I don't know who I am, but this is the happiest that I've ever been, which is kind of cool. It's also the most stressed out that I've ever been. It's the most money I've ever made in my life. The most stability that I've ever had in my life. And I went and saw my brother the other day, and he hugged me more times in one visit than he has in my entire life. Like, things are on the upswing. Do you understand? I'm doing good. But I realize that some of y'all have figured out that the past couple of episodes I have only uploaded because I had something exciting to talk about or something I needed to get off my chest. And I'm just excited. Like, I don't have anything in particular to be excited about. Like, I don't have any crazy shows coming up or, like, you know, real, real famous people I'm going to be talking to on the Pottercasters. No, I interviewed Stuart Huff. I was looking forward to that. But even that was weird and surreal because, I mean, as you put people up on these pedestals and you develop this mythos around a person and it causes you to forget that they're just a person still. Like, Stuart Huff is just some hippie billy. That's a term that I invented to describe Stuart Huff because he is 117% hippie. But also 47% hillbilly. But hillbilly's kind of like salt. You know, if you add any amount of salt to water, it becomes salt water. So really, it could be 2% hillbilly, and he would still be a hippie billy. Anyways, should have let you do the math. It was very bizarre to reach out to a person that you not only look up to, but you know has like the calipered skill level that you also want to attain. And then to sit down and talk with them for an hour, and that hour didn't go the way that I was expecting it to. And that happens a lot whenever you sit down and you have an expectation of a person that you haven't actually met or spoken with. You're just familiar with their work. And their work is not who they are. Bingo! Their work is not who they are, and I made the mistake of assuming that Stuart Huff's work was who Stuart Huff is, and that is not the case. God damn it, I have to stop talking like him. But what happened is we sit down, Luke and I, with this amazing performer right? Like a really, I mean, I'm being serious, top-notch comedian. And I did what I do a lot on that podcast, where I take a really awkwardly phrased question and I throw it up in the air like a baseball and I hit it with a tennis racket just to see how far I can get it to go. And I've gotten really lucky with that on Lauren, or on How I Learned to Love the Bomb, because not every time, but there's been a couple of times that I have done that, and as soon as the question leaves my mouth, I panic, because I know that's not a thing that you should ask a person in the first 10 minutes of sitting down with them. Hey, Chris, are your parents still alive? That is not a softball question that you do up top. And that is what I asked Chris Seamer, just like, hey, where's your folks at? And then that sprung us down a road for like a really wonderful conversation. And sort of did the same thing with Stuart. I thought I was lobbing up a perfectly passable softball question about what time in history would you like to live through? But what came out of my face was something along the lines of, what part of your life do you want to do over, you fucking failure? And that's not what I meant. But that's how we took it. And once again, it took us down this road, this wonderful conversational road that I wouldn't redo any of that for any reason. It was a great talk, but it was weird to sit down with a person, like I said, that I look up to, that I don't want to use the word idolize, because that's not, no, I idolize Bo Burnham, which is weird, but Stuart Huff, I respect and admire, which is less creepy. I've never sent Stuart Huff a message on Facebook. Well, I mean, I did. I invited him to be on the podcast, but he responded. Bo Burnham didn't. Anyways, what I wanted was to get somebody on the podcast that I liked and that would get other people to listen to the podcast through their reputation. Because that's kind of the business model of the interview-style podcast, right? You bring somebody on that either has something really interesting to say or has a lot of really interesting things to say, and you hope that other people want to hear those interesting things based on that person's reputation. Is everyone on board? All right, you can put your notepads down. That's all I'm going to teach you today about podcasting. But what I got was not... It wasn't just, you know, a good conversation with somebody that I thought a lot of comedians in the Cincinnati area might want to listen to. Blech. What I got was a peek into, you know, potentially 25 years into the future, or rather 20 years in the future, or 30, however long it is. Stuart's been doing comedy for close to 3 decades. And Stuart says a lot of the things that I've heard Rob Wilfong say, and sort of, I mean, not, I don't want to say in a defeated way, but there's a bit of sadness behind these words. Like, I don't have a manager. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know how I'm going to pay my rent next month. Now, that one, I've never heard Rob say that, right? But I also don't think that Rob is like the breadwinner in his family. But it's really interesting to look and be like, well, I mean, if I really do pursue this, if this is really what I want to drive towards, then really the only goal that I haven't achieved yet is to be able to quit my job, right? Well, Stuart has done that. This has been his full-time gig for years and years and years. And he's talking about not being able to pay rent? Ew, boy, is that a road that I really want to go down? Or am I going to be scared and stay right where I am and try and convince myself that I'm content? I don't know. I opened this up by saying this is the happiest that I've ever been, but maybe this is just the most denial that I've ever been able to muster up. I genuinely have no idea. I don't know what's going to happen. But what I do know is that lately my anxiety's been through the fucking roof, and I don't know. I don't know what I'm feeling. I don't know what's going on. See what happened there? I started out real positive, and then I got weird and existential. You were there. I don't need to discuss it. You know what it did. I'm genuinely happy, though, But I'm also incredibly confused and stressed out. I don't know who I am. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know if I even like my job or if it's just easy enough to pay me, you know? Who knows? But what I do know is that one of my favorite things in the whole fucking world is when I go to... there's an ops manager for another company that I go and get drinks with sometimes. Y'all don't know where I work, and that's on purpose. Deal with it. But there's an operations manager for one of the other companies that operate out of our facility. And sometimes I go over and I have beers with them. And that is what's really fun. Just candidly speaking about all of the little idiosyncrasies that go on in that facility. I'm thinking about having him on this show. That's right, baby. One-on-one interview. Get a couple beers in him, and he's a real good talker. His words, not mine. No, but I mean, I've never had any standards or, you know, I don't care who I put on this thing or who I talk to. And we would have a lot to discuss. We work, you know, in tandem, so to speak. I don't know what's going to happen. The world's kind of opening back up. I have two really cool podcasts that I'm genuinely excited about. And I'll be honest, I wouldn't be excited about them if other people weren't excited about them. So if you're listening to this and you've checked out any of the other shows, like How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Bomb, the show I do with Luke, thank you for checking that out. If you like it, thank you even more. If you've gotten one of your friends to listen to it, let us know. I will rub your feet. If you are just now dipping your toes into the waters that is The Wrong Rabbit Hole with Johnny Tremarco, oh, man. That one's fun. That one is a lot of fun. And I do mean, like, a lot of fun. But I also don't really... I don't know. I don't know how much longer I'll be doing anything because I'm fickle. You know, I used to say that Lauren's podcast was all I ever wanted from podcasting. This was it, baby. I'm just going to keep doing this every week until I die, and I don't care what happens. And then I started doing shit with Luke. I've been consistent. I think y'all know that by now. And I think you're, like, okay with it, maybe? I don't know. I think you guys... do you like that? Do you enjoy an entertainer, that's a stretch, that actively tells you that he's a schmuck and won't give you content with any level of consistency, no matter how much you tell him that you enjoy it? I don't know. Apparently, some of y'all are okay with that. I wrote a song recently about the idea that most people don't give a shit about what they choose to entertain themselves with. It's something that I heard Jeff Tate say several years ago. But most people don't curate their entertainment. I mean, if you're going to go to a concert, you're going to ask what type of music the concert, like the bands play, right? You know, if you don't like reggae, you shouldn't go to a reggae concert. Seeing it live, I don't think is going to change your opinions on reggae. But on the flip side of that, most people just go to a comedy club and it's like, yeah, I'll go see some comedy. I'm telling you right now, that is a horrendous simplification of how you are spending your evening. I'm going to go see some comedy. You're going to go people watch at the 24/7 Walmart? Like, what do you mean you're going to go see some comedy? If you go to see quote-unquote some comedy and you're expecting Chad Daniels and fucking Steve-O walks out on stage, you're not going to have a good time, okay? Chad Daniels is a brilliant joke writer and a wonderful performer, awesomely hilarious, down to earth, and kind. And Steve-O has a dash in his first name. Curate your entertainment. If you're going to go to a comedy club, do some research. Check out the headliner. Because everything is based off of that. Okay, rant over. Anyways, I don't know what you expect from me anymore. I just say things as they come to my brain, and then you know, then you hear them, and then maybe you come back again to hear more things. Is that what we're doing here? I don't know. I'll tell you one thing for sure. I'm making an album. Now, listen, this is not like when I got on here and I was like, I'm going to make a podcast network. No, I looked into it. It's too hard. I Googled it, and a very easy solution wasn't the first 5 results on Google. So I'm not making a podcast network because I don't know how. And I can't get the information very easily. And as we discussed earlier, I'm lazy. So I'm making an album. Definitely 176 times more work than just starting a podcast network, because that's basically just a website. Anyways, I'm making an album. I'm not making a comedy album. No, it's not going to be like an hour of my jokes. I don't have an hour of jokes. Could I be funny and entertaining for an hour? Probably. Well, maybe not the whole hour, but I mean, I could do an hour's worth of time if I really needed to, but no one's asking me to, and I'm glad. But what I do have is a bunch of dumb music. And I say dumb music because that's what it is. It's real dumb. I mean, even the songs that are like, you know, not supposed to be silly, the ones that I think touch on, like, you know, something more real within my soul, they're dumb. They're dumb songs. They're always going to be dumb to me because I wrote them. I don't like the stuff that I make. Well, okay, no. It's not that I don't like it. It's just that I will always think that it's dumb because I think I'm dumb. And then I like it, and then I have to assume that I have bad taste and I like dumb things. But I'm making a dumb thing, and maybe you also like dumb things. Maybe you like all the dumb things that I like, and that's why you like the dumb things that I make. Who knows? Maybe we should be friends. Who wants to go get conies? Or coffee. I woke up not long ago, and I need caffeine. Oh, boy. That's going to be priority numero uno as soon as I shut these microphones down. Let me tell you what. I don't know. What is this? Is this just like general announcements now? Is that what Lauren's podcast is? If you want a real podcast, you can check out his other stuff. But if you just want to hear, you know, generalized, vague announcements about his life, go check out Lauren's podcast. No, I'm just kidding. I know what you're here for. I know why everyone is here. And it's just because it doesn't really matter what I'm saying. As long as I keep saying it, right? We're just going to keep talking, and you're going to keep using this podcast to put your dogs to sleep or whatever it is that you use it for. Tremarco puts on a podcast for his dog when he leaves the house, and I think that is psychotic because he doesn't even listen to him. So why is he torturing his dog? These are just thoughts that keep me awake. And they also put me to sleep because Tremarco's kind of boring. I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. You're not here to defend yourself, and I shouldn't just, like, cut your legs out from under you. But I mean, you don't listen to podcasts, so you're not going to hear this. You know what I really want? You know what I really want? Oh, man, I want one so fucking bad. Sorry, Mom. Haven't done that in a while. I want an e-bike. Oh, my word, do I want an e-bike. Are you freaking kidding me? It's a bicycle. You can pedal it. You can ride it. Nothing else fancy there. But also on the handlebars is a little throttle getting you up to a super sweet 30 miles an hour if you're lucky on a downhill. Good Lord, I want to feel the wind in my hair, but I also don't want to die if I crash on it. Do we understand my level of risk taking? Yeah, I need an adrenaline rush, but not too much. You dial it back. Could I get like adrenaline light, like a diet adrenaline? That's what an e-bike really is. It's not a motorcycle. It ain't even a fucking moped. Sorry, Mom. But good Lord, it's a bicycle that goes just a little faster than you could pedal it yourself. That's literally all it is. And I want one, and I want to ride it to work actively so that my coworkers can make fun of me. I don't know why, but that's exactly why I want one. I want to zip up on a silent electric bicycle that does 30 miles an hour, cutting through the back roads to get to my office. I want to appear And then I want them to look at it and go, what the hell is that? And then with a big smile on my face, I will say, that's an e-bike. And then I'll zip off on it and I'll come back. And then everyone will make fun of it. And then everyone will want to ride it. And then everyone will love me more because of how much fun it is. Too real. I really do want an e-bike though. And 100% part of it is just because it's silly and goofy and weird. And I like weird for the sake of weird. I don't live in a city setting. I live like a city setting adjacent, right? That's Delhi, right? We're just a bunch of hillbillies in a city setting. That's all it is. But I could totally and feasibly ride an e-bike to work. It would be amazing. And it would also prevent me from having to use my personal vehicle for work, which happens sometimes, you know? I mean, it's not a lot of gas, but I don't like using my money to make sure that the people that give me my money can keep giving me my money. Like, that's not how this works. Once you give me my money, it's mine. And then once I put that money into my gas tank, that is only to get me to work, to comedy shows, and wherever else Leah wants to go. Like, that is what that gas is for. Not to go pick up a step van from Fuller Ford. Too real. So I want an e-bike. Can't go pick anybody up on a fucking e-bike. Sure, it's got pegs, but nobody's gonna want to do that. They're expensive though. Like, I was kind of shocked. I mean, bicycles are cheap. You can go to Walmart right now and get a little basic 20-inch regular ass bike, $130. Not bad at all, right? I could go and do that. Problem is that e-bikes, you got a hub motor. Anybody know what that is? Me neither, until I started looking into e-bikes. Literally, the motor is the wheel. And then that's attached to, like, a controller and a battery, and then all that's run to a throttle. And that's basically an e-bike. And unfortunately, most of them are, like, $1,000. You get 45 miles of range, top speed of 19 miles an hour. See, they have to put a governor on it, because if they allow them to go, if an e-bike goes more than 20 miles an hour, guess what? It's technically a moped. Ohio law. Now, apparently, I had no idea that the e-bike world was so, developed until I discovered e-bikes on a stupid YouTube video, and now I really want one. But I have found out that apparently e-bikes are such a new thing that, like, it's one of those technologies that the legislation kind of lagged behind on. And when e-bikes first came out, they were sort of a problem. Nobody knew what to do with them. No one knew how to handle them, because you have people that are on bicycles that could, you know, conceivably do, like, you know, 10 or 15 miles an hour at, like, a really good clip. Performance bikes can do, like, you know, 18, 19, 20 miles an hour. You got people on the Tour de France clocking in at like 25 on a downhill or something silly. And so when these e-bikes came out and they have these, you know, 5,000 watt motors in them and 15,000 peak battery, blah, 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 I don't know, words, electricity and stuff. A lot of that just glazed over me. But the long and short of it is that suddenly you have people on a bicycle doing 30 miles an hour in places where other people are walking or riding bikes or pushing strollers. And so, obviously, all the municipalities freaked the fuck out. And they were like, look, what we're not going to have is a thing in the news, a big headline that says mother and daughter violently murdered by e-bike rider. That's probably already happened in the news, right? Like, Seattle's a place. But I don't know. I think they were just worried about accidents happening. You know, 30 miles an hour is a good clip. You reckon on 30, you're going to feel it. You're going to hurt. I don't care. You wreck into somebody else, they're going to hurt too. So I get it, you know, they didn't let e-bikes go on sidewalks or parks or anywhere. They literally treated them like a moped and said the only place you can legally ride them is on the street. And that's very dangerous for folks on a fucking bicycle. Are you kidding me? You can't, like, I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm mincing words, maybe I'm not articulating the actual legislation and how it changed properly. But what I have gathered is that now is the sweet time. right? We got to get it. We got to get it while it's getting good. E-bikes, you don't need a license. But you can also just like to work. And I don't think they get any louder than that, too. It's an electric motor, right? Now, through my research and my digging and my tooling and my learning, I found a guy. I think he lives in Colorado. Probably not. But I found a dude, and he took an old-ass bicycle. And when I say old-ass bicycle, I mean it was old. It was clearly weathered, and it was ass. It was a shit bike. Rust spots all over it. He clearly dug it out of just like some friend's garage, right? But it was a bicycle, and it ran. It ran. No, I mean, it was rideable. Pedals worked. Chain was intact, you know. Brakes still solid. And what this dude did is he went the DIY route. Instead of buying, like, you know, an electric, you know, spelled with a K, brand e-bike that folds and has all integrated parts and stuff, and it's all slick and cool for $879. No, he found a bicycle in a garage. He greased up the gears and the chain. He put on new brakes so that, you know, because obviously if he's trying to make this thing go 30 miles an hour, it's going to need some good brakes on it. Am I right? Ha 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 ha. And then he got a hub motor, a battery, a controller, and a throttle, and that's literally it. And I think he spent total like $150-$160 zipping around at 30 miles an hour on an unregulated e-bike that is technically a moped and not exactly legal in Ohio. I want to do that. Oh, man. I mean, but this is, I mean, y'all have been around. You've been around me for a while. You remember when I wanted to build a roller coaster in my backyard just cuzzies? I saw it on YouTube, and I was like, I can do it. I have a dream. Now my dream is to do 30 miles an hour on a bicycle and pretend I'm in the Tour de France. But also not do any of the work required to be able to go 30 miles an hour on a bicycle. I just want to slap a motor in that bitch and go, you know what I mean? So, yeah, thanks for listening to the podcast, because that's where this money's going. I'm getting an e-bike. Probably not. I get obsessive about things, and I'm like, oh, this is so exciting and cool. And then I'm like, oh, if I could only save up $200. And then I don't, because I buy, like, instant noodles and fucking Switch games or whatever it is that I spend my money on. And then I find something else to be obsessed about. And I'm like, oh, if I could just save up, like, $500, it'd be, my whole life would be better. And then I don't, because I, like, order pizza or, you know, decide that I need to get a full tank of gas. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm having fun doing it, whatever it is. I enjoy the people that I surround myself with. Not all of them get along. I surround myself with people that some of the other folks I surround myself with talk about them behind their backs in not a nice way. And that's fine. I get along with, like, most folks, so eventually, I'm going to have some social bubbles that don't want to coalesce, you know? There's not, if you put all my friends in a room, it's going to get weird. Because I got a lot of friends that would not mesh with other people. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I've always struggled with the idea of, like, am I incredibly laid back and relaxed and understanding and, you know, don't get bent out of shape about someone that has a different ideology than me? Am I that person? Or am I a narcissist that just desperately wants everyone to like me? And so I will subdue my own thoughts, opinions, beliefs, and idiocracies and fold into whoever's opinions I'm standing in front of. Am I that guy? Boy, I hope not. That guy sucks. I try not to be that guy. But I don't have strong opinions other than, like, you know, don't hurt people emotionally, physically, spiritually, and what have you. That's really, I mean, that's it. Don't hurt folks. And as long as you are abiding by that, you know, it's the old doctor code, you know, do no harm. That's really the only thing I believe in. And I think that's a pretty easy thing to believe in, right? Like, do no harm. It's pretty black and white, though, right? Like, what happens when you're in a situation where you have, there's no way out? That dumb thought experiment where it's like you have a train that is barreling down the tracks. The train is full of 50 people. It's out of control and it's going to wreck. There are two different spots where you can mechanically apply brakes to the tracks themselves to stop the train. Problem is, there is also a person tied to the tracks just past the first brake. If you activate the first brake, the train will slow down too abruptly and you could injure or possibly kill people inside of the cabin. But the person that's tied on the tracks will absolutely live. If you activate the secondary brake, the person on the tracks will not live, but everyone in the train will be fine. Which one do you do? Do you guarantee to save a life, but potentially, like, you know, injure 50 people? Or do you let one person die as to not injure 50 people? How do you do no harm in that situation? I have one belief, and I've literally already presented a thought experiment that dismantles it. How do you do no harm in a situation where there are no options? Well, thank God I don't ride trains. I've never been in a situation where I have to make that choice. I've never been in a I can always find, I mean, this is America. Things aren't that hard. No one's getting tied to train tracks, you know? Like, I'm not a public official. I don't have to make big decisions. Thank the Lord. But, I mean, I kind of want to have kids one day. And that's sort of like being a really tiny public official. Like, you're in charge of a life or a few little lives. And you have to know best for them. I don't even know what's best for me. I want to do no harm, and yet discipline is harm, is it? It's short-term harm for long-term lessons? Maybe. I don't know. Am I going to hit my kids? You better believe it, but not in like a discipline way. I know I'm going to lose my temper. I'm going to backhand one of them, and I'm going to feel bad. My mom did it to me. I'm sure her parents did it to her. And I'm terrified that I'm going to accidentally act on impulse and backhand my kid one day. Wow, this episode really got out of my hand. Like, I don't know how we got here. I started by saying, I've never been happier. And now I'm like, I'm going to fucking hit my kid one day. Sorry, Mom. Oh, what's the point? The point is, go listen to my other podcast. Because this one's weird now. I don't know what's going on. I have a nice desk set up with a brand new computer, and I don't have to, like, it's not a big deal to just sit down and record anymore. I can literally, it's two buttons, click and clack, bippity bap. There we go. No, if you've listened to this and you've stuck around this long, it's great. I'm going to give you a little teaser. I'm going to give you a sampling of the album that I'm going to be making. So this next or first, yeah, first song? First song. Yeah, first song. Can you tell that I stopped and started this a couple of times? Anywho, so yeah, first song. It's not funny. Half of the album's going to be funny, and then the other half is going to be, stuff like this. I hope you like it. The song is called Choke.
Fire's burning in the mountain, but the wind sun begins to choke. I'm sure he had his reasons, but how could I know? He never told me why he had to go. And I'm confused, left alone. Now I feel as if this burden is my own. Will I be the same? Will I turn out this way? I'm not sure anymore. The ghosts of my father's past are knocking on my door. He always told me, when it's hot you better run. But then again he said a lot of things back when I was young. Like how to talk real smooth and how to fool a judge. But he never told me why he left or where he was. The fire's burning in the mountain, but the wind won't carry his smoke. My daddy's in the valley laughing as his son begins to choke. The fire's burning in the mountain, but the wind won't carry the smoke. My daddy's in the valley laughing as the sun begins to choke. Told me when it's hot you better run. But the wind, but then again he said a lot of things back when I was young. Like how to talk real smooth and how to fool the judge. But he never told me why he left or where he was.
Oh boy, I mean, was that fun? Did you have fun with that? I like that song. I wrote that a couple of years ago. That was part of the reason why I wanted to make an album. I like it, and I want it to be as good as it can be. And if there's other people out there that would also enjoy this, I want them to be able to find it. So the only way to do that is to put it out into the world and see if it's got wings. This next song I wrote for my girlfriend.
I've broken your trust. Is love enough to keep us together for sure? I think it is. 'Cause you are my bliss, the safety and the one I adore. 'Cause I love you, what more can I say? Yes, I love you, darling, tell me, will you stay? Folks are fine living their whole lives content with being alone, and I would have too, but then I met you, and now you're the place I call home. 'Cause I love you, what more can I say? I love you, 'cause I love you. What more can I see? Yes, I love you. Darling, tell me, will you stay?
Was that fun? Did you like that one too? I hope so. I have no idea when this album is going to come out. I don't know when I'm going to finish it. But it's, I got some collaborators, some fun folks that are going to help me produce an album, I guess. The plan is it's going to be 30 songs, 15 funny, 15, you know, like what you just heard. All of it mediocrity. Okay. Yeah, thanks for listening. Thanks for staying on top of things. There's no reason for you to be here. I'm not giving you anything that you couldn't get from any of the other podcasts that I have. So thanks, I guess, super fans. Until next time.